Well, if you weren't here last week, part of the Heaven to Earth series, you missed a real treat. This week, we're going to do a bit of a rewind again, so you get a good feel of what we've been doing over the last weeks. And if you can remember before the holidays, I think you need a medal, because we started with session one. Imta spoke to us about our mission on earth is to make this world look more like God's will. So it's transformation down here on planet Earth. You may remember that we spoke about heaven as a place where God rules. One ruler, he's sovereign, no doubt about it. We saw that it was a place where heaven, where pain ends. There'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more difficulties. We saw it was a place where angels serve and they carry out what God needs done on his planet. We also saw that it was a place where wealth flows. There's money aplenty. There's never power outages like we had in our house last night. There's just resources flowing. We saw that it's a place of extreme joy. Everyone's like laughing and joyful and rejoicing all the time. No breakups, no disappointments, no challenges. It's just an awesome place. So much better than just heaven as a place on earth. We also saw that we are representatives of heaven. I'm like an ambassador. Remember, we saw some good and bad examples of being ambassadors last week. There were people that have done us proud, and there were people that haven't done us proud. And that brings us to this week, week four of a five-week experience of what it means to bring heaven to earth. You know, in Africa, we understand that the world is spiritual, supernatural. Maybe in Europe and America, they have debates about, is the unseen world real? But we don't doubt it. People go to Sangomas to be healed because they believe in the supernatural. People use muti to try and win games of football. And let's hope there's some strong muti going on in the World Cup, because otherwise our boys aren't going to score any goals or our nets are going to be full of the ball. We don't need muti, do we? But it happens, am I right? People believe in the supernatural. People even read their horoscopes, mistakenly thinking that they would determine the outcome of their week. Some even go to those little caravans that drive into town and they will consult a medium to tell them, you know, this is your future. Some people get into the real dark side and they do things like fiddling with Ouija boards and trying to ask questions of the dark world. Some would go so far as to be part of a seance and consult with the dead. Some even go out and say, you know what, I actually believe in the devil and I'm a Satanist and I have my own little Bible. Now, many of you probably don't come across that a whole lot, but we accept the supernatural. We know that there's things like demons. We know that there's things like angels. Most of us on this continent know that the supernatural is as real as the natural. If you have a Christian worldview, in other words, if you're a follower of Christ and you believe in the Bible, you know that our God lived eternally. There was never a time when God did not exist. A sovereign being, the creator of both heaven and earth, and he lives and rules and reigns from heaven, and he even now is Lord over earth. There is nowhere where you can go where God does not rule. He is the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. And sometime back in ages past, one of the angels, a supreme being, someone created as one of the most powerful angels. If you like, you could call him one of the archangels. He decided that he wanted to be the pretender to the throne. And he took a third of the angels and he led an incredible battle against the forces of God. He just wasn't powerful enough. And he was banished from heaven, sent down to earth. The Bible speaks about the dragon being cast out of heaven, coming down to earth. And this being, this Lucifer or Satan as we call him, he is causing havoc on this planet. He's running around with his minions, the demons, doing whatever he can to destroy and to mess up God's plan, which is to be rejoiced and worshiped, to have a great earth. Whenever you see something going wrong, whenever you see the dark side manifesting, you know that Satan has something to do with that. In God's original plan, he created this beautiful universe. He put Adam and Eve on this world and he gave them authority. He said, you are stewards of this earth. You will rule over this earth. You will have dominion. In other words, you will have all the power. They had the power to even name the animals. Yeah, you look like a donkey. I'm going to call you donkey. You've got like a way long neck. A giraffe sounds right. You're really ugly. I'm going to call you a hippopotamus, with due respect to the hippopotami. But very soon, they took that authority that God had given them, and in a moment of craziness around a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they gave that authority that they had been given by God to Satan, because he came slithering into the garden as a serpent, and he said to them, did God really say that you mustn't eat from this tree? He only said that because he knows that if you eat, you're going to be all wise and all knowing. And Adam looked at Eve and they looked at each other and they said, hey, wouldn't be bad if we were pretty wise now, would it? And the moment that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they actually gave Satan authority over their lives. He had no authority whatsoever. He was just a created being. But they took what God had given to them and they gave it to the evil one. And God had to bring about a rescue plan. He had to send his only son, or very much part of himself, Jesus, who eternally existed as the Son of God. And he had to come to this world as a human, live like you and I, grow up, go to preschool, primary school. Jesus went to Jerusalem High. He was like the best at swimming. He could walk on water. He was just like an amazing football player. He could just kick that ball as far as he wanted. He wasn't actually. He limited himself. He became like you and I, in every way like you and I. I think he might have had the odd pimple. I think he struggled with relational issues because he laid aside his majesty. He became like one of us. And in that time of 33 years on earth, he embarked in an awesome struggle against Satan. Personally, he could outdo Satan at any time. You can see there, Satan's trying with all his might to arm wrestle Jesus down. But there was something about his purity, about his unwillingness to compromise. He never sinned. Every temptation that the devil threw at him, he withstood until it seemed like it had all gone wrong. Because at a certain time, in about 33 years after zero, the earth became dark because Christ had been defeated by the evil one. Even the disciples were absolutely blown away by this. What's up? You were supposed to deliver us. Until 3 days later, when he rose again from the dead. And he had ultimately defeated the evil one, regained for human beings all of that authority over the forces of nature. He even showed that he was supreme over creation. When that wind and the waves were roaring, he just spoke to them and said, be still, be muzzled. You have no authority over mankind. You know, we understand authority. If we're honest about it, we would know that when there's no smoking signs, unless we're very, very shrewd, we will obey that. I won't smoke in public nowadays, will I? No, because I'm going to be given a hefty fine. We understand age restrictions on movies, some of us. I'm not sure we all agree and obey them, but gaming, you know, no 18. When I see an age restriction, I want to make sure that my little dude in the house doesn't get exposed to stuff that's not for him. When we choose a movie like we did Friday night, we check the age restriction. We wouldn't show an 18 movie here on a Friday night. Why? Because some of us are 13. Me, I'm 15. I don't want to watch an 18 movie. I have premature aging. It's a condition that some people get. And if the mall says no Heelys in the mall, I'm either going to do it very sheepishly or on the quiet, or I'm not going to do it at all. I understand. When the school says don't use your cell phones in class, and when someone phones, it's like embarrassing or it's big trouble. And so we understand authority. When the speed limit, Andrew, is 100, and you're driving to Natal last weekend, you got to listen and obey that speed fine. Otherwise, there's a speed cop who says 500 moolah. And maybe you can talk sweet and get it reduced to what? 300, that's better. So could we send that offering box around? Because the brother don't have no money, no moolah. So if you feel convicted, no, I don't. He must pay for his sin. Damn sinner. No, let's be gracious. If you can give some of your pocket money, do that. You know, if a little kid is stronger than his dad, you would think that that kid can be more powerful than the dad. And when the dad says, dude, don't do that, nah, he's going to listen. But you know what? There's an authority structure in a parent or a guardian that even though I think Robert Webb can take on his dad, but there's something about respect that Robert understands that, I don't know, your dad's tough. But you're probably taller than him now. And at a certain point, the kid is bigger than his dad. But there's still that, you know what? You're my dad. And even if I can pick you up and throw you out the house, I'm going to just be a little bit careful before I do that. And when that speed cop jumped onto the road in front of Andrew with his super-duper car, he could easily put down his accelerator and just drive over the cop. But in that policeman with her or his hand up is not just that person, but the whole backing of the state. And if you don't want 100 cops coming after you with helicopters and flashing lights, then you better obey. You know, I think we understand authority. And as Christ's ambassadors, we have authority. We have his delegated authority to carry out what he wants. You know, it's like this. When Jesus came, he passed on to his followers his authority. This is what one of the verses says, that these are the miraculous signs that will accompany believers. They will use the power and authority of my name to force demons out of people. If someone is filled with a demon, I have the power to speak, and they will be sent out of that person immediately. And they will speak new languages. They will do amazing miracles. And ringing in my mind is all of that supernatural series that we journeyed and experienced some time back. You know, it's like as a citizen, if I'm in trouble, my government will mobilize even the submarines if they have someone that can pilot them out of Cape Town and Saldanha Bay. But they will launch, if necessary, missiles, scuds, to save me, someone who's in need, if I'm a part of their world. And as a follower of Jesus, all of his power is at my disposal to do what he wants me to do, to carry out whatever it is that he needs me to do. I'm never without power. I'm never struggling. I'm never, well, it's just me on my own. I have the power of Jesus Christ at my disposal. And you see, Jesus has said, all authority on heaven and earth is mine, and I give it to you. And so we have to use his authority, don't we? And before I talk about how do we do that, I need to make sure that I'm a follower of Jesus, that I put down my briefcase at some point, and I've turned in my life, and I'm going to follow Jesus. If I haven't done that, and if I'm not in a relationship with Jesus, it's not going to be any good trying to pretend to use his authority. Here's what happened one time way back in the book of Acts, and the Lego guys are going to help us. But listen to this. It's Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Some Jewish men started going around trying to force out evil spirits by using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, come out of in the name of the same Jesus that Paul preaches about. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this when an evil spirit said to them, I know of Jesus, and I've heard about Paul, but who the heck are you? And then the man with the evil spirit jumped up on them and beat them up. They ran out of the house naked and bruised. And I had to use Lego because Lego doesn't look too bad naked. But they ran out in their skinnies, and I'm not talking skinny jeans. And they were defeated because they didn't know Jesus. They weren't in a relationship with Jesus. They were just saying, hey, in the name of Jesus. So the next time you're going to look a demon in the eyes and say in the name of Jesus, make sure you know the Jesus that you're talking about. Otherwise, you might, next minute, you might know you're naked. And that can be embarrassing. And so now that we've got that right, here's what you need to do. How do we use the authority of heaven on earth? How do I bring heaven to earth? How do I use that authority in heaven? You want to figure this out a bit this morning? Well, here it is. There's at least five things that we can do. And they all found in an awesome story in Acts chapter 3. You see, one day, Peter and John are heading up the temple to pray. And as they're walking to the temple through one of the city gates, they see this dude begging. And he's clearly lame. He can't work. He can't fend for himself. And he turns to them and he says, do you have money for me? And they look at him. And I think that's the first step. Anytime I'm going to use the authority of heaven, I need to be aware of a situation where that authority is needed here on earth. And so when there's a situation like a lame man in front of me, I need to be thinking, hey, here's a moment to use the authority of heaven. Got it so far? And so identify a situation. And secondly, this is what happens. The man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter says, silver or gold I do not have. Doesn't sound like a very powerful start, does it? The man wants money, and Peter says, I don't have any money on me. I'm just a poor disciple. You know, he expresses the need. The need in the situation is great. It's a situation that in my own strength, I can't do too much about. But in the strength and the power of Jesus, there's a chance. And so not only do I identify a situation, secondly, I need to express the need. Maybe the need is something like, you know what, I'm out of my depth here. Without the intervention of heaven, without the forces of heaven coming to the rescue, this is not looking good. Express the need. Number three, speak in Jesus' name. Here's what goes down. He continues by saying, not only do I not have any silver or gold, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. That's what I do have. I have authority in the name of Jesus. It's not in my name. You know, in the name of Mark, rise up and walk. Well, good luck with that. Try that sometime. You know, in the name of Bongi, in the name of Akon even. You might be famous in the news. You might be the top singer, but it's not your name. In the name of Jesus, walk. That's where the authority lies. At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've used the name of Jesus in front of a demon, and the person just kind of like crumbles. They come at you with a knife, and the moment you say, in the name of Jesus, stop, they kind of collapse in front of you. It's like, whoa, there's power in the name of Jesus. And that's what happens here. In the name of Jesus, walk. Thirdly, act with faith. Because they do something really unique. They go to him, they take him by the right hand. Now, it doesn't look like anything's happened yet. They've spoken in the name of Jesus, walk. James and John, they go to the guy, they take him by the right hand. They help him up. Now, it's a little bit foolish, don't you think? It's like someone in a wheelchair in front of you, and what you do is you've prayed in the name of Jesus. You take them by the hand. At some point, people are going, doo, 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 doo. This dude is lame. This dude hasn't walked since birth. They take him by the right hand, and that instant, his ankles become strong, his legs become strong, and he's going to walk. You see the step of faith? I need to believe that having spoken in the name of Jesus, I believe if they had walked on, quite possibly nothing would have happened. That combining of that speaking in the name of Jesus to some act of faith, so finally we can give God the glory. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I believe that that's a real story. That it's not make-believe. It wasn't just made up. these very same people that wrote that story were willing to die for their faith. So there must have been some truth in this story. Well, why don't we do that this morning? Why don't we practice that very same thing in a unique way? I want you now to identify a situation in your life that needs change. Maybe there's an area that you're not in control over. Maybe there's something going down. Maybe there's a family member with some crisis. Maybe there's an illness that you know about. Maybe there's a situation at school that you've just thought, you know what? This situation is more than I can handle. Maybe it's a grade that you're just not getting. Maybe it's some finance you need. I want you to identify that situation, and before we carry on, I want you to think of something really, really difficult in your life. In your life or in someone else's life. And as a sign that we're going to do something about it, before we get going, I want you to stand to your feet this morning. If you've got a Bible, you can just leave it on your chair. And I want you to stand with in your mind a situation. Because we're going to speak to the situation. Secondly, I want you to not out loud, but express the need in the situation. For them, it was, I don't have any money to give you. I don't know what that situation is, but express the need that, you know what, in my own strength, I can't do this. That I don't have the resources to meet this need. That I don't have the ability. I'm not a healer in the sense of, you know, that's something God has used me before, if that's not you. But I want God to do something about this. So just in a moment of silence, just express, Lord, this is a hectic situation. This is not natural. This is supernatural. And in my own strength, I don't have the ability to come against this area in my life or in the life of someone in my family. And so I'm going to be turning toward you now, Lord. And we're going to now speak in the name of Jesus. Notice they didn't say, Lord, are you there? Like up in heaven? Are you listening? If there's anything that you could maybe do, it'd be really neat, you know, if you could maybe just tweak the situation. No. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so I want you to speak now to whatever that situation is. And speak it under your breath. Don't worry, the person next to you is also going to be speaking out. Speak in the name of Jesus. Take authority, that same authority that we were given to name the animals. Yeah, you're a giraffe. I want you to speak it out now with your own words. Speak to that situation. In Jesus' name, be changed. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, bring resolution. In Jesus' name, be reconciled. Whatever it is, speak it out in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the power in your name, Jesus, that there is no greater name on heaven and earth by which men may be saved. It's the name of Jesus at which all will bow. We believe that in your name is all authority. The name of Jesus, when your name was spoken, demons trembled and flee. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And I want you now to act with faith. And you don't have a lame guy in front of you that you can pick up, but I want you to do something right where you are as an act of faith. Something creative, and I don't know what that means, but something that says, you know what, I believe that something has happened in this situation. You might want to take a step forward, you might want to, I don't know, whatever it is, something that will say, you know what, I believe in this. You may actually want to turn to someone next to you and say, I believe that God has done X, Y, Z in my prayer, in response to my prayer. Do something. You might say something. Do something. Act with faith. And in this church, we do air punch. Don't worry about that ad. Awesome. And now let's give God the glory for doing that, for what he's just done. Father, we thank you for what you've done in the awesome, awesome name of Jesus. That you have come into this situation, you've brought change. It's already happened, Lord God. And we're going to walk out in faith this morning, believing you for this and even greater works than this. And I pray that this week, Lord God, as I find myself maybe at school, I will identify a situation around me that needs change. I will express the need, Lord, that in myself I can't do it. I will speak in Jesus' name and bring change. I will act with faith before I even see the resolution, and I will give you the glory in the incredible name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I want you to be seated for just a minute. Next week is the last week in our journey. Don't miss it. It's a week after that that we start the brand new series on Born for This. Is there anyone who, before we go, wants to just come and testify to what you believe God for this morning? Anyone? Before we close, we've got a minute or two. Open mic. Someone want to come? Come, Ayanda.
Okay, well, I've been really struggling with maths and just understanding it, and I just really find it really hard to understand things, and sometimes I have a really hard time, and I think to myself, why can't I understand this? Why can't I get it? And sometimes I do feel like maybe, you know, I don't know, maths was not for me, or, you know, I don't understand why would God want me to understand maths and what's up, and maybe it was something that, you know, happened in my family or, you know, just anything like that. But I really believe that God is going to bring a breakthrough for me in maths, and that I can understand it and that I won't have to struggle with it any longer.
Awesome. I know someone else who recently prayed and was struggling with schoolwork and is in the top 5 in her grade at Delta Park. I won't say who it is. But it was an absolute turnaround from struggling to like, go girl, distinctions, medals. God answers prayer in Jesus' name. Someone else who wants to testify, yes, come up. The girls are putting the guys to shame.
Well, I'm believing, because like my friend, she's like having problems at home, and like I've been trying for since last year to bring her to church and like to help her get through it. So I'm believing God to heal her pain and for her to come to church and see that he loves her.
Well, I don't know if this is like cheating or something, but like I actually asked for multiple things. So like I'm just gonna tell you like one of them. There's a guy in my school, right? And I've been like since grade 8, I've been trying like hard, and I've been asking him, like telling him all the cool things we do in like Fridays and stuff. And like I don't know, like he experienced a bad situation with one of his family members dying, and he like said, like, you know what? Like, I don't care about God and stuff. So I'm trying to, like, show him that, like, maybe God did that to, like, maybe that was a good thing for the person, because now the person's in heaven. But, like, I don't know. Every time I try and, like, get through to him, it's, like a barrier, you know? And I could just pray, like, that God breaks down that barrier so that he can see that what God does, God always does something for a reason. Yeah.
Awesome. I want to challenge you in this week to look out for ways in which heaven invades earth through in and through you. We're going to create a bit of space probably next week for some testimonies at the end of the series. So if you've got a testimony of how you feel that heaven's coming, so you've got a whole week to practice bringing heaven to earth. Okay, it's one thing to hear about it, to think about it. It's another thing to say, God, bring heaven. Let me walk in your authority. Let me see change happening. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for what you've been teaching us in this journey as we've been on this wild, imaginative journey of what it would look like if earth looks more like heaven. And we pray that truly, Lord God, even as we journey this week, that increasingly the world around us would change, that this place would be like yours, and that, Lord God, you would use us as your instruments. your ambassadors, your envoys, to bring change around us. Bring us back next week with a word of testimony of what's changed in and around our lives. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.